Okay, sorry about that. So the Mishnah Berurah, like we said, is medayik that only when a kid is a gil l'chinuch for brachos bad he would say amen such as bracha. So what age is that? What age is he gil l'chinuch for brachos? So it's not clear. I saw that Rav Avadia, Yabia Omer Chelek Bei Siman Yud Gimel, says it's not just enough that the katan make a bracha. He has to be 6 years old. Higia leonas peutos. If you look at Dirshu note 18, it quotes a similar thing from Rav Yashiv. Now, what's interesting is we saw in Siman Kuf Tzadi Tes Sif Yud already that that's, according to many poskim, the age of six. Even though the Rambam said 7 or 8, and the Rif said 9 or 10 for Yodei Lamim Mevarich, but we're Meka, like the Rivash, that's true at the age of six. That's the Pu'utos, that's what the Shulchan Aruch means. Now, it's not Pashut that's relevant over here. Why? Over there, the Shulchan Aruch talks about Pu'utos, Yodei Lamim Mevarich. And we were Daik over there from the Beis Yosef that might be older than the Gil of Chinuch, right? Chinuch might be younger than that, because Chinuch, already when they start teaching them, and they know how to do it, that's Higiel HaChinuch. To participate in a Zimun, you might need older. And therefore, I would have thought that the Shulchan over here gives a different shear. Here is shears in Pu'utos, here it's Higiel HaChinuch, which is potentially younger. But nevertheless, Rav Elyashiv and Rav Avadia both assume that it's the same thing, which is the age of six. It's a bit of a Chiddush. So what is that age? What is that age? So in Rav Neuwirth Sefer called Chinuch Habanim LeMitzvos, Ha'ara Samach Vav, he quotes a machlokas about this shayla, and he says, well, you know, in terms of understanding, a four-year-old kid could understand what the bracha means. Maybe he's talking about Israelis, but maybe even in America. But maybe that's not yet higiel chinuch for brachos. Why? Because to be higiel chinuch for brachos, you have to be at an age where you could do the mitzvah properly, and you need to be a shomer al nikiuso. He has to be clean himself appropriately for brachos, and he thinks that would be at least the age of six. So it brings us back to six mitzvah higiel chinuch. So therefore, you shouldn't be able to say amen to a bracha. Rav Neuwirth says, less to a kid that's less than 6 years old. But he notes that the minhag is to teach kids much younger to start saying brachos. He writes from the age of three, that's when we do it. And that's pretty common. It's an interesting question whether that's correct or not. There are some poskim that say it's a beautiful thing, Taras HaKodesh. Rav Shlomo Zalman quotes that that's the minhag. I remember hearing from Rav Tursky in the name of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky that's a bad idea. Why? Because if you teach a three-year-old to say brachos, you're being mechanich them to say brachos without kavana. Three-year-old isn't really going to have proper kavana. And so what are you teaching them? You teach them that brachos is all about saying the words. That's true. That they could do at 3 years old. But they don't know what a bracha is. They don't know what it means. They don't not shaykh to kavana. So therefore, you're being mechanich them how to say bracha incorrectly. So that's not a good idea. Now, I thought that svara was a very strong svara. I remember when I heard that from Rav Tursky, our youngest was around that age, and we thought, so we're going to wait. But turns out that it's not really our choice, because if they learn how to say brachos in nursery school, or if they have an older sibling and their older sibling starts making brachos, then, you know, when they're 3 years old, they will likely also want to say brachos. Sometimes you don't necessarily have that choice. But the point is that l'chaora, at that age, you should not say amen to such a bracha. So that's fine, don't say amen. But then what happens when they start asking, how come you didn't say amen to my bracha? Again, once they're, let's say, 6 years old, so you could certainly say amen to their bracha. They understand, hopefully, that six, they're higiel l'chinuch for brachos, and you could say amen to their brachos. But the three-year-olds, so maybe they learned in Gan also about saying amen. Should you say amen to their brachos? So what's the halacha? So the pashup shot is you should not. So what are you supposed to do? So when they're at a certain age, you could avoid the issue. You could say, ah, what a beautiful bracha, and smile at them. But when they're, sometimes they you know, that's not going to work anymore. They're still lo gil chinuch. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach suggests that you say, amen, leave out the nun. That's not a proper amen, and therefore, it's okay. Other poskim have a different suggestion. That's in Halicho Shlomo Chela, Perek Chaf Beis, Os Chaf. Other poskim say you should say, this is much harder to, you have to sort of be on top of the game to be able to say it. But you quietly say the pasuk, Baruch Hashem Liolam Amen Ba'amen, and the Amen you say out loud at the right time. Okay. Others say, well, no, just if just like you're Machanech Lem and saying Bracha, you could be Machanech Lem and saying Amen. And it's okay to say Amen in this case, even though they were they're really low yield chinuch. And the Dirshu note 18 quotes a number of poskim who do hold that way, though it's a bit of a chiddush. It certainly doesn't sound that way from the Mishnah Berurah. Yes, Yosef, you had a question.
I guess it's similar to Dirshu R18, that I thought we said all the way back in an earlier Shurin Ketz Mabarchim that the idea of saying teaching children brachos, or saying the brachos for them, maybe we could be mukhi the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that I was talking about children shalohi gil chinuch, and there was two aspects of chinuch. There's to be margil
yeah, okay.
Children.
I agree.
So then, what would be a source for these poskim who are positing this idea of to be margil a child chinuch?
Just like you're margil them in brachos, you're margil them in amen.
Right, but I mean, what's the svar to say that you're being, what's the makar? Meaning, all the sources that we find, except if you read that Gemara, Shalok Kipshuto, perhaps, so then all the sources indicate it's Higi Lechenach. So what's a source for these poskim to say that?
Well, the Rabbah, I mean, it doesn't say in the Gemara, let's say you read the Gemara like the Raifid. So all the Gemara says is, when don't you say Amen? It means when they are, you know, they're not eating. They're practicing saying brachos in their gan without eating. But if they are eating, then you do say amen. So the Shulchan Aruch did say chinuch, and from there, the Prima Gadim has his diuk. But that's not explicit. Adarabba. I would think that if you read the Gemara like the Ravid, then the Pashto says anytime they're eating, it's okay. So I'm not sure, you know, again, from the Prima Gadim, you see, not that way, Lechora, but from the Gemara and the Rishonim, you certainly don't see that way. Okay, turning to Siv Dalet, we have the question of making Amen on the Bracha Sheina Sricha. Oh, let's actually, before we get to Amen on Bracha Sheina Sricha, let's talk about Bracha Sheina Sricha. That's also here in Siv Dalet. So the Rambam very famously says that the Isser of a Brach Shein Tzricha is an Isser de Oraisa. And he writes this in a number of places. In Parak Aleph of Hilchos Brachos Alacha Tesvav, he writes, called Mevarech Brach Shein Tzricha, Reis Enos Hashem Shemayim L'shav, V'harei Hu K'nish Ba L'shav, V'asher Lanos Acharav, Amen. So Rambam says both. Number one is, it's like a Enos Hashem Shemayim L'shav, it's like a Shvur Shav, and also saying Amen is Asher. The in Hochos Brachos Perkid Aleph Halacha Tezayin, he says this again, and also at the end of Hochos Shvuos, he writes Hashomeya Haskaras Hashem Epichaver L'Shav, Osh Nishba Lefanav L'Sheker, Osh Birech Bracha Shein Tzricha Over Mishum No Se Shem Shemayim L'Shav. So according to the Rambam, and of course the Rambam is based off of the Gemara, but as we know, some Rishonim learn that Gemara is an Asmachta. The Rambam does not. The Rambam says that this is a Drasha Gemura, and you're over on the Isser of No Se Shem Shemayim L'Shav. Now, the Rambam over there points out in Hilchos Shvuos that there's an additional Isser besides the Lav of No Se Shem Shemayim L'Shav. If you said the Shem Shema Hashem, not in the context of a bracha, but without proper reverence. So you're not just over on the Isser of No Se Shem Shemayim L'Shav, but you're also over on a say of Lira es Hashem Hanechbad Hanora. Umichlau, Yiraso Shalo Yazkir Levatala. So there's actually two dinim de oraisa that are relevant over here. Now, it's parenthetically interesting. So first of all, I think earlier in the year, we're not going to go through this again, but when we talked about the principle of Safek Brachos Lahaka, we noted that the Rambam in Shuvos, Simon Kochav Dalet, explains that's the reason why Safek Brachos Lahaka, it's because Brach Hashem and Tzrichos is a deoraisa. So you have to be makel b'makom Safek. You can't say Brach b'makom Safek. Now, what's interesting is there's another Shuvos of Rambam. It's quoted by the Kesef Mishnah Hilchos Mila Per Gimel Halacha Vav, where he has a lashon of the hem she'amru shekal nevarich brach shen etzricha over mishum lo sisa lefikach. He says that's why if you're mesupik, you don't make a bracha. So maybe it sounds like he thinks it's the rabbanan because he says behem she'amru kol nevarich brach shen etzricha over mishum lo sisa. I don't think that's a stira at all because we know the Rambam thinks that many halachos that are not mefurish bekrar, that's not the pashtus of the pasuk, but Chazal derived them from the midosh atar nidrashus behind their understanding of the pasuk, they might have the status of what we would call a deraisa. Rambam sometimes might call that divrei sofrim, but the point is it's not just rabbinic legislation, it's coming from the psukim, and that's what he means when he says heim she'amru. In other words, it's true, it's not the pshuto shel mikra that you're no say Shem Shemayim L'shav when you make a bracha Shem Tzricha, but it's the way Chazal darshan the pasuk, and therefore it's certainly binding and treated more or less like a deoraisa. Now, when we look to the Shulchan Aruch, that sounds like what the Shulchan Aruch is paskening. Simon Reish Tesvav Sifdala, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Kol Mevarech Brach Shem Tzricha Reza no say Shem Shemayim L'shav, Varehu Kenishba L'shav. Amen. This is a citation from the Rambam. However, many poskim think that we don't paskin like this Rambam. We paskin that it's the Rabbanan. Now, not only that, but the Chai Adam argues, this is an Nishmas Adam Chaylak Aleph Klal Hay, that even the Rambam only understood it's Losisa de Rabbanan, that Losisa is an Asmachta, like Tosfos. There's no Isser de Oraisa. This is a very difficult interpretation. Now, if we look at the Rias from the... So why does the Chai Adam say it, first of all? So he writes, one second, if you're going to say that a bracha Hashem Nesricha is an Isser de Oraisa, right? So how could the Chachamim even go ahead and be misake brachos? In other words, every bracha on a Doraisa level is a bracha Hashem Nesricha. So when Chachamim went and they were masaking you, you make a shahapo on water. So how could they do that, right? The Chachamim can't tell you to be over on a lav. And this is a lav. So the answer, l'chora, to that is that it may be that the Chachamim, they're, first of all, when they said it's a mitzvah to say bracha, so now it's not a bracha shein tzricha, it's a bracha tzricha, number one. But even more than that, could be that the whole concept of a bracha was niskan by the Chachamim to a large degree. They were the ones that gave brachos the status of something like a shvua. And that's why saying... if you just mention the Shem Hashem in a way that is totally, you know, with proper reverence, that's not an Isser at all. It's not an Isser Rabban, it's not an Isser Raisa B'Pashtus. If I say Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, but I say the Shem, that's okay. Okay, we don't do that. We talked about that another time, that it's our practice not to do that. We're, among other things, we're concerned that we won't have proper Kavanah. But technically, fundamentally, that's okay. So why is bracha different? What's wrong? I say a shahako. I don't need to make a shahako right now, but I feel overwhelmed with gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shehakol. What could be so bad about that? So the answer is that when they instituted the concept of brachos, they gave a bracha a certain tzura, a certain din, a certain status. It's similar to a shvua. And therefore, when it's l'shav, that's aser. So when you use the nusach of a bracha that has a certain status, certain koach, and therefore it falls under these halachos. So again, we have these two dinim. We have losisa, and that is only shayach when you use a nusach bracha. And then we have the isser of mozi shem shemayim levatala, that is it's not a lav, it's an asay. It's derived from Hashem Elokecha tira. And that is anytime you say the Shem Hashem without proper reference. And again, the Rambam is very meduyuk. It's very hard to say what the Chayyadim says, because if the Rambam meant asmachta, he would say asmachta. The Rambam is always very, very precise in his Lashon about this. There's another number of rise against the Chayyadim, but I think that's the most fundamental reason. Now, according to Tosos, on the other hand, Tosos is in a number of places, among them Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph. Bracha she'ena tzricha is much more kal than the din of being maskir shem shemayim levatala. Why? According to Rambam, what's more chamor, a bracha she'ena tzricha or being maskir shem shemayim without proper reference? The answer is lo sisa, bracha she'ena tzricha is much more chamor, it's a lav. But according to Tosfos, adirabba, Tosfos thinks that when the Gemara says bracha she'ena tzricha is lo sisa, that's an asmachta. But mid-oraisa, there is no isser at all. But mid-oraisa, you are doing an isser. You're violating es Hashem l'kacha tira when you say it, the Shem Hashem, without proper reverence. So according to Tosfos, that isser, in a sense, is much more chamor. Now, many, many Rishonim learn like Tosfos against the Rambam, that losisa is an asmachta. So it's not just the Shita of Tosfos, and many assume it's Rov Rishonim. It's Rabbeinu Yonah, B'Shem Rabbanei Tzarfas, might be the same thing. The Russian Kiddushin, B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam. The Chinuch in Mitzvah Taf Lamed, the Ran, the Ritva, the Rivash, the Trumas Hadeshen, they all seem to assume that it's only an Isser. I shouldn't say only, but that it is an Isser de Rabbanan. What's sort of interesting is that Tosfos goes ahead and proves that it's not an Isser de Raisa, because if it was an Isser de Raisa, then women would not be able to make a bracha on a mitzvah to say Shazman Groma. Now, if so, you could say Rambam is l'shitaso, because the Rambam Taka says that they are not allowed to be mevarech on a mitzvah to say Shazman Groma. However, it's not mochrach to say that chiluk, because you could have argued that even though they're not chayavos to do the mitzvah, if they do the mitzvah, it is a mitzvah, they get schar, it even probably has a shame kiyum ha-mitzvah, v'tars enu mitzvah v'os, and therefore you could say a bracha, and it wouldn't be a bracha shen shricha, even if bracha shen shricha is a raisa. So, though it is, what is interesting is that the Rambam and Tosfos do both take that position. One of the proofs of Tosfos is because the Gemara Brachos, Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, says, Safek kara emes v'yatzev, safek lo kara chos v'kore. And if you held, and why is that? Safek deraisa l'chumra. But if you held that losisa is alav, so then how could you make a bracha misafek? And don't say ase docha lo sase. So it says we don't say safek ase docha safek lo sase. So therefore, that's the rai of Tosfos. But the Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam says that since I'm chayev to say the bracha because of the principle of safek deraisa l'chumra, so then it's not a problem of losisa because I'm doing what it says. So how do we paskin? It's not entirely clear, but many poskim assume that we paskin like Tosfos. One example of a posik that says this, if you look in Chuvas van Hagos chelok aleph simen tafshin nun hay, he's makel by the following shayla, safek brachos b'makom kavod abrios. So we know that you're allowed to be over on an iser de rabbanon b'makom kavod abrios, not an iser de oraisa. So he thinks this would be a nafka mina, and he applies the principle taka gadol kavod abrios dochel osasi de rabbanon, even to say a bracha sheinat sricha, because he thinks rov poskim say it's the rabbanon. Now the Magen Avraham over here brings up a very important point, and we've discussed this earlier, but we'll review and be mosef a little bit. There's something else that's similar to a bracha sheinat sricha, and sometimes we even call it bracha sheinat sricha, but it's not actually the same. Might be usher, but probably everybody would agree this is only in the Sidra Rabbana. That's what the Evan Ozer says, Siman Reish Beis. And that is the principle of Riboy Bracho Shelo Letzorach. So now, just to clarify, we're going to use the terms very precisely. We're going to use the terms as an issue of bracha and tzricha versus a bracha ribu inaser ribu bracha shalol tzorach. The Rishonim don't necessarily, or in Achron, don't always use those terms precisely, meaning to say sometimes they'll refer to what we're calling the ribu bracha shalol tzorach as a bracha and tzricha. But as we'll show, there's a lot of evidence that these are actually two separate categories. If we actually think about it, there are perhaps, we could talk about several potentially surim. Number one is Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala, without a bracha. So that's a Nisar Asei, a Vesa Shem Lekachotiva. There's a bracha and a tzricha, which according to Rambam is a Nisar Deraisa, according to Tosis, a Nisar Rabbanan. There's what we're talking about, that Riboy Bracha Shalol Tzorech, which we'll see, first of all, whether such a concept even exists as the Machlokas Rishonim, and we're going to argue, and Achronim argue, that even if it does exist, even for the Machmirim, it's only Nisid Rabbanon. And then there are actually going to be times where we allow you to make more brachos, even though, strictly speaking, that's not necessary. Well, one example might be, according to Evan Ozer, you're allowed to make a bracha on a tafel if you eat it before the ikker, even though theoretically, if you would have gone in a different order, you wouldn't have had to say that bracha. So what we're going to talk about now is the principle of riboy bracha shalol tzorach. If you remember the last time we talked about this, we mentioned the tremendous chiddush of the Trumas Hadash and Simin Tzadi Hei, and it's paskin b'halacha on the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Sukkah. The Trumas Hadashin says the following shaila comes up. Let's say on the first night of Sukkot, you have to eat in the sukkah even if it's raining. So you come home from shul and it's raining. And, probably in an hour it's going to stop. So you don't want to go out now in the rain. So is there anything wrong with starting your suda now inside? And then when it stops raining, you'll go outside and you'll eat in the sukkah. So he says on the second night of Sukkot, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But on the first night of Sukkot, you may not do that. Why is that? Because you would have to make a second Shechianu. Why? Because the first Shechianu that you made in Kiddush, which you made inside, was Shechianu on Kedushas Hayom, but you didn't get to make Shechianu on the Sukkah. So when you go into the Sukkah to eat, you need to make another Shechianu on the Sukkah. And that's Riboy Bracha Shalol Tzorech, because you could have made one Shechianu, and now you're making two Shechianus. You're not allowed to make an extra bracha. Whereas on the second night, you don't have to make a Shechianu on the Sukkah, because the Shechianu you made on the Sukkah the first night covers it. That's because, technically speaking, you could even make the Shechianu on the Sukkah before the Sukkot, when you build the Sukkah if you wanted. So there it's only a Shechianu, it's Kedushas Hayom, so you could start inside and then go outside when it stops raining or the like. And this is true, Ad Kedei Kach, they have to wait. And the Mishnah Berurah paskens this way, you have to wait several hours. It talks about how long do you have to wait, because it's a Tirchon people, but you might have to wait several hours because of this cheshbon. And this is a tremendous cheshbon, as we talked about last time, that Mishnah Berurah, that is a Sifkatan Lamed Hay. And that's really a tremendous chiddush. Why is it such a chiddush? Because over here, these two brachos are really two separate machayvim. One is the machayv of Shechianu al Kedushas Hayom, and one is the machayv of Shechianu al Sukkah. And so, okay, if I could do them at once, so great. But if that's not convenient for me, because I don't want to have to wait an hour or two, So what's wrong with waiting? So you see how far the Truma Sadeshin goes in this concept. Are there any other Rishonim that hold of this idea, Ribu Brach Shalol Tzorech? And also, what's a source for it? So we saw that the Ra'ah and the Ritva, Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph, both hold of this concept. They explain that's the Hamamin of the Gemara, that maybe you should make Hadama and Patr the Ha'etz. In the end of the day, we say you shouldn't, and that's because Ha'etz is the proper Bracha, even though Hadama might work, but Diyavet, Ha'etz is really the proper Bracha. But the Hamamin of the Gemara is you should really make Hadama and Patr the Ha'etz. And what's the reason? What's the source for this concept of Ribu Brach Shalol Tzorech? So his answer is, the Ritva and the Rav both say, we learn it from a Gemara in Yoma. The Gemara in Yoma, very briefly, says that the Kohen Gadol, there's two Kriyas HaTorahs in the morning. There's the Parsha from Achremos, and then there's the Maftir from Parshas Pinchas. So it says that the Kohen Gadol reads the second Kriya Baal Peh. He's got all the Aliyahs. But instead of either taking out a second Sefer Torah or rolling the Torah, he just says the second one, Baal Peh. There's a machlokes in the Gemara why that is. And one of the answers in the Gemara that we'll see is because if he needed to lane the second parsha, the Maftir, from an actual Sefer Torah, then he'd have to make another bracha. And the halacha is that's sort of a ribui bracha shalol l'tzorech, because it's an extra bracha. And therefore you may not do it. So we see here that we treat ribui bracha shalol l'tzorech similar to bracha she'en etzricha. We use the lashon of bracha she'en etzricha. In other words, we treat, so even though there's a new mechayev, namely the second Sefer Torah, but still, since you could have done it with one bracha, now you're doing it with two, that's ribui bracha shalol l'tzorech. Now, what's interesting is that maybe this concept is machlokas rishonim, because if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Kippurim, Yom Kippurim, Perek Gimel Halacha Yud, and the Persian Mishnah of their Yuma, he only brings the reason Rav Huna bar Yehuda, that the reason why we don't roll the Sefer Torah is because of Pagamo shall Sefer Rishon. Doesn't give this answer, Reish Lakish. Also, the Rif in Megillah doesn't bring this answer down. And therefore, there are some Achronim who say that the Rambam disagrees with this principle. He disagrees with Reish Lakish, and he disagrees with this principle. Perhaps you could bring a raya to this from the Rambam, Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Ches Halacha Vav. The Rambam says you have a choice when you eat your matzah and maror. You could either eat them together, in which case you'd say one bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Malchu Olam, Asher Kidshanu Lanu Seisav Tzivanu Al Achilas Matzah Marorim, or you could eat them separately, in which case you'd say two brachos. Now, what do you see? You see from there that even though we said, you know, these are both equally good options, you have a choice. So if you really hold to the principle of Ribu Brach Shalol Tzorech, then you should have to choose one. So the Rambam clearly doesn't say that. The Rambam says that since these are two mitzvos and two mechayvim, if I want to do them as two brachos, I can. Maybe it could be Docha the Raya, but I thought that's the Pashtus. Another Raya to a Rishon who doesn't hold of this is Rashi, Menachos Lamed Vavim at Aleph. The Gemara over there talks about Tzach Bein Tfila L'Tfila, that it's an Aveira. And what is the Aveira exactly? So the Tosfos hold that the problem is that if you speak, you could have made one bracha, now you're going to make two brachos. So you made an extra bracha. It's a Ribu Bracha Shalol Tzorech. Rashi learns, no, it's just really, it sounds like from Rashi that there'd be nothing wrong with doing that as long as you remember to actually say the second bracha, but you might not. Sounds like from Rashi, the Mishkan Es Yaakov says that he doesn't hold to this concept of Ribu Brach Shalol Tzorech. So the Rambam and Rashi might not agree to this concept, but as we mentioned, the Ra'ah, the Ritva, the Trumas Hadeshen all do hold of this. Likewise, the Mordechai and Megillah thinks that the Amoraim and Yoma aren't arguing, so then presumably everybody would agree to this concept of Ribu Brach Shalol Tzorech. Tosus Menachos Lamed Vavim and Aleph writes that an application of this is that if you're shechting, let's say, a bunch of animals, you shouldn't speak between them, because since you could, if you don't speak, you can make one bracha, so you shouldn't speak and thereby forced to make two brachos. Again, these examples aren't necessarily going as far as the Trumas Hadeshen, because here it's just one mechayev. Well, it's one bracha on one mitzvah, we could have been more efficient. But you see all these Rishonim do hold to the concept of Ribui Bracho Shelo Letzorech. We mentioned Rashi and Rambam disagree. There's a tshuva from Rav Amram Gaon in the Yotzer Gaonim. It's quoted on Brachos Siman Reish Nun Tes, that if you want to be marbeh b'brachos, and it's not even just talking about Shabbos, even during the week, where you all basically automatically get mei brachos, you can make these brachos before hamotzi. And that allows you to be marbeh brachos. So you see that there isn't an end to be marbeh brachos. That's permissible. In other words, you don't have to be so efficient. Now, how do you get out of the Gemara, the Raya from the Gemara and Yoma? So one way is to say, yeah, we don't pass them like Reish Lakish. But there's another way from the Rama Mipano, and that's quoted in the Magen Avraham in our Simen. The Rama Mipano says, you know what? The Magen Avraham doesn't actually say what he says, but he refers to it, he alludes to it. The Rama Mipano says that it's Dafka by Birkas HaTorah, where we say this idea. Because really, Birkas HaTorah on its own is kim'at a bracha shein mitzvicha, because you already made Birkas HaTorah in the morning. Because you say it anyway because of Kavodat Zibor. So therefore, you make the bracha. But since it's barely a acceptable bracha, that's only in that context that we hold to this idea of Yivui Bracha Shalom Tzorach. But in any other context, for sure, you have to make the bracha. It's going to be mutter. So again, according to the Rama Mipano, maybe this idea is not correct. However, the Magen Avraham argues that he's wrong. He disagrees. And as we mentioned already, we paskin like the Tumas Hadeshin, so we hold that there is this concept of Yivui Bracha Shalom Tzorach. So now the question arises as follows. It's only an iser when it's shelo letzorech. So if it's letzorech, it's mutter. So we have to figure out what is considered letzorech. So the shla has the following idea. It's quoted here as well from the Magen Avraham, in the Magen Avraham in our Simen, Reish Tesvav. So the shla says that on Shabbos, if they brought you some fruits during the meal, you can go ahead and save them till after the meal. Why? Because you're allowed to be goreim extra brachos, so you get mei brachos. So the Magen Avraham asks on him from this Gemara Yoma. Why? Because the Gemara Yoma, you know, there's a much bigger problem with mei brachos on Yom Kippur than there is on Shabbos. Shabbos, at least you eat, you have brachos mazon, bracha rishona, bracha achrona, but Yom Kippur, it's much worse. Everybody gets into problems on the Yom Kippur. And still we say that there's this principle by the Kohen Gadol, Bibur Bach Shal Zorach. So he says, oh, the Raya against the Shla. So I don't know if it's the strongest Kasha. Maybe we'll answer that the Kohen Gadol doesn't have a problem with Bibur Bach Shal Zorach. Right? Okay, we do. Think of all the brachos the Kohen Gadol is going to get. Brachos from the Avodah and brachos from the Maftir and Ilya and the like. He's going to be okay. Anyway. So the Shla, though, is rejected by the Magen Avraham. Okay, so we hold that if they bring the fruits in the middle of the meal, you can't leave them till after the meal, even to get Mei Brachos. Now, the Shla notes that even though we paskin that you're allowed to split up a Suda into two Sudos in order to get Shalosh Sudos. This is a machlokas in Rishonim, whether you're allowed to. But we paskin, like the Rush, at least for Shasat Chak, we try to avoid doing this, but Shasat Chak, you're allowed to break, at least among the Ram things. We might not paskin like that ourselves. The Mishnah Berurah is not into that. But the Shla, the Magen Avraham things, we do paskin, b'shasat chak, at least, that you could break up the Suda to two Sudos to be mekamei the Shal Sudos. So isn't that exactly a violation? Why is that any different than the Shla? Right, the shlas you're doing ribui brachos shelo letzorech to get mei brachos is the same thing as doing ribui brachos shelo letzorech to get mei brachos mali mitzvah shal shudus mali ribui brachos. Among the Rambam things that you can't compare them. He doesn't tell you exactly why. It could be that the chiyuv of shal shudus is more of a chiyuv gamor than ribui brachos shelo letzorech. It's an interesting shaila. We will get to another time. What is the nature of that chiyuv of mei brachos? Is it a chiyuv? Is it a minag? Is it a nice thing? I saw the Prima Gadim asks in a fascinating shaila. We can talk about it another time. Remember, we saw the halacha is that we say yatza motzi for a bracha rishona that's a chiyuv. Like let's say the bracha of hamotzi lach min haaretz at alachilas matza or even kiddush. So he says maybe if you're saying a bracha because of fulfilling the mitzvah of mei brachos, we should say it. So to get mei brachos, I can say a bracha for eating and not eating it because it's a mitzvah. He in the end, he says you can't do it, but you see fundamentally he assumes that it is a chiyuv gamur. Anyway, that's it for another time. So fine. So we don't accept the shla, and the Magen Avraham is mechalik between shal shudos and mei brachos. So then there's a very interesting position quoted from by the Magen Avraham from the Ram Galanti. He says, even though we don't accept the shla, but if they bring you, let's take one step back. He says, even though I think the shla is wrong, I think it's okay if they bring you food after you bench. In other words, to bring desserts, as it were, before you bench, and then say, okay, I'm going to wait to eat this till after benching, that's for sure, usher. He's saying this law's wrong. But if you say, don't bring out dessert till after benching, so that's the Ram Galanti says that's mutter. And the Magen Avraham thinks to think that's correct. So why is that different? Because that's not nearly as egregious. Here, it's not like the food is here and I'm dafka not eating it to be marbe b'brachos. Here, they didn't bring it yet, right? Let's say I'm not in a mood to eat this now, right? I only want it later. So nobody's going to say to me, we brach shalol letzarech. I'm just going to say, oh, you better eat now, even though you're not in a mood to eat now, because if you wait in a half hour, you know, you'll have to make an extra bracha. Oh, there's nothing. Nobody would say that. So to tell them to not bring out the dessert, that's going to be okay. That's what the Magen Avraham says. But he notes in the end that the Sefer Zechronos is machmir, even in that case. Even in that case, you should avoid it. So essentially then, just to review, we have three shitos, right? According to the Shla, you're allowed to be among those that aser ribui brach shalol letzarech, but the Shla says you could do it from mei brachos. The Magen Avraham rejects that, but he says, except from Maram Galanti, that you could ask them to bring out dessert after benching. And then he quotes the Knesset Gedola from the Sefer Zechronos, who says you shouldn't even do that. Okay. So we mentioned before that even though we hold that Sasevi Marbe Brachu Shalol Letzorech, in order to avoid a suffix, it's mutter. We saw that from the Rosh Paschal in Shulchan Aruch. You could say bracha, maybe you should say bracha on water before a meal to be yotzi the sheet of the bag, even though we don't really pask in that way. Why? The logic is that's not shalol letzarech, that is letzarech. It's letzarech to avoid getting into a machlokes. Which, you know, I think you could say that's in line with the sheet of the Shla, who says, well, if it's shomei brachos, it's also letzarech. We don't go that far. But that's halacha. As I mentioned before, to machlokes rishonim by Shal Shudis, and that comes up in Siman Reish Tzadi Aleph Sif Gimel. We don't really have time now to talk about that. So the last thing we need to talk about, it's a big topic, so maybe we'll wait till next time, especially if we want Adam to hear this. A couple more main shilas. But the last thing we want to talk about is what about an amen on a bracha that I wouldn't say myself because of safek brachos lahakel. So Bezus Hashem, we will pick up with that on Tuesday. Okay, have a good day.
Thank you, Rabbi.